Morning. Today's daf is daf hey in Avodah Zarah. We begin back on daf Dalam, and basically we're up to two dafs. It's about 10 lines from the bottom of the Amud, and it starts with the words gufo. We're going to go over a couple things that we learned yesterday. We're going to learn a couple new things, and mostly Agadah today, finishing up the long Agadic section of the beginning of Avodah Zarah. And then when we get to Amud Beis today, we're going to go back to the Mishnah and do a little bit of halacha. Yom Eitzaref Be'egel Siman. The Gemara starts off by giving us a mnemonic to help us remember the next four teachings. Gufa Amar Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi, my dechsev asher nochi mitzavcha hayom la'aso sam. I commanded you today to do them. Hayom la'aso sam v'lo la'machar la'aso sam. Today, you do them, not tomorrow. Meaning that in the future, you know, we don't do mitzvahs. Mitzvahs are for now. Hayom la'asosam, v'lo hayom litoscharim. Reward, that's for later. So in other words, there's a clear separation between when to do the mitzvahs and when to get reward for having done the mitzvahs. You do the reward, the mitzvahs now, you get rewarded later. Right? And there's no crossing. Meaning, so we don't do the mitzvahs later, and we don't get reward now. Amar Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi, that's number one. We saw that already. Number two, kol mitzvah sheyisor osam b'olam hazeh b'osam me'idos osam la'olam haba. This is really the starter off are all the agadata, all the way to back on daf beis. Mitzvahs come and testify. Shenemar yinu edehem v'yitzdaku yishmu v'yomru emes. And the Gemara now darshens this pasuk in Yeshaya. We saw this drasha earlier. Yino edem v'yetzdiku, elu Yisrael. This refers to the Jewish people. Along are going to come the mitzvahs are going to testify. Yishmu v'yomru emes elu de kochavim. And as far as the goyim, they're also going to testify against the goyim as well. I'm Rav Yishuv Ben Levi. Both of those we saw already. This is new stuff. I'm Rav Yishuv Ben Levi. Kol mitzvah she saw osim alam hazeh, both v'torfas osam lov dikochavim la'alam haba. The mitzvahs that we do in this world are going to come and smack the goyim in the world to come. Al panehem, on their face. Shenem u'shmartem v'asitzem kihi chach masem u'vinaschem le'enei ha'amim. Right, it says le'enei ha'amim. Neged ha'amim lo ne'amar. It doesn't say neged ha'amim. Neged ha'amim would give us a sense that's like opposite the goyim, meaning facing the goyim. But it sounds much more direct. Lo ne'amar ela le'enei ha'amim. Malami shabos v'torfos. Lo'ov dekochavim al penehem la'olam abad. Smacks them on the face in the world to come. What exactly the Gemara means? So, I don't know, clearly. But, I don't know. I'm not sure what idea the Gemara is trying to convey over here, that our mitzvahs are going to smack the goyim on the face. I can't imagine we're talking about in general goyim. My best guess would be that we're talking about specifically goyim who torture, torment the Jewish people, those goyim. Yeah, right. I mean, we discussed in the last chapter of Sanhedrin that yes, they're also going to get a portion of the world to come as well. Bilam was excluded. So, right, the fact that Bilam is excluded gives the clear indication that the rest of them are getting in, getting access. Amir Yeshua ben Levi, a fourth statement by Yeshua ben Levi, Lo'asu Yisrael Sa'egal Elitein Pitzchon Peh Le'Bale Tshuva. Okay, here comes a tough concept. Very difficult concept. We're going to see this in a couple of permutations. Kadosh Baruch Hu forces us to sin. Okay, it's a tough concept. There's no way around it. Rav Yeshua ben Levi says that the only reason why we succumb to the egel is to give pischon pela balei tshuva, to help along balei tshuva, meaning balei tshuva, people who are sinning and want to return and want to repent and want to try to change, but they'll say, I can't do it. It's not right. It just can't happen. So what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did is gave us a model lesson with the original Jews who were going through the desert, who really weren't that really interested in Avodah Zarah and didn't want to be sitting with the ego, but were forced to do so that later on for all future generations, people will see, yeah, you can change. You can do tshuva. Look at Rashi. Lo'asu Yisrael Sa'egel. Klomar. Gibarim u'shlitim b'yitzram hayu. Rashi describing the Jewish people by Ma'amad Har Sinai. They were great people, and they had total dominion over their Yetzahara. V'lo hayu ra'ili his gabir yitzram aleihem. And the truth of the matter is that they really if everything would just be left alone, they would not have succumbed to their Yetzer Hara. Ela, Gzeres Melech Haisa Lishlo Bam, Kedelita Pescham Pela Baalei Tshuva. It was God's interest and desire that they do succumb to the Yetzer Hara, and they do sin with the golden calf, Shim Yomra Achote, Lo Ashuv, Shaloi Kableini, because the sinner will say, look, I'm not going to do tshuva, Kadosh Baruch Hu will not accept me, Omrim Lo, Save Allah made me Maisa, Ego Shekhaf from Niskablu B'tshuva. Yeah, Ego is a very good indication that Kadosh Baruch Hu will accept your tshuva. Okay, so that's one example, according to Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi, where Kadosh Baruch Hu forces a person to sin. Does it fly in the face of Bechir Chavshis? Of course it does. Okay, it's, the Rambam's viewpoint, I'm not sure. Although the Rambam does say in Hilchos Tshuva, I take it back. The Rambam says some people are stripped of their Bechir Chavshis. Rambam gives the example of Paro. Right? Rambam says that by Paro, at a certain point in time, he lost his free choice, and he was forced to basically say, I will not let them go. All right, so I guess even from the Rambam standpoint, you know, he may agree with Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi. Moving on. Lo nemar le nemar, right? Pischam pelo balei tshuva shenemar miyitem v'ayel avem zeh lahem liyira usi kol hayamim. Okay. We'll come back to that pasuk a little bit later on this morning. V'hainu dam Rav Yochanan mishum Rav Shimon ben Yochai lo David roi lo osa maiseh v'lo Yisrael ruin lo osa maiseh. No. Lo osa maisa. Lo osa maisa. Sorry. David also really, the etzem, fundamentally, David wasn't ready to sin with Bathsheba. In other words, had he been left alone, he wouldn't have sinned with Bathsheba. Kadosh Baruch Hu forced his hand to sin with Bathsheba. As is the same way that Bnei Yisrael sinned with the eagle. Lo David roi lo osa maisa dechsev libi chalal b'kirbi. David, in describing himself, said libi chalal b'kirbi. Rashi explains that to mean he just had total dominion over his yetzer hara. You look at the last Rashi on the page. Yetzer hara chalal b'kirbi ve'ein lo koach lishlop b'kirbi. I have total dominion over my yetzer hara. V'lo Yisrael roi lo osa maisa dechsev miyitem ayel avam zelahem liyirausi kol hayamim. Also from Bnei Yisrael, sounds like the same thing also, that really, they did not have the Yetzer Hara towards the ego. Ela lama asu lam lechashim chote yachid omrim lo klach eitzel yachid, v'im chatu tzibur omrim lahem klach eitzel tzibur. Okay? So two times the Torah wants to model to us that there's an opportunity for tshuva. Both as an individual and as a community, we can do tshuva utzricha. And the Gemara points out that HaKadosh Baruch Hu needed to make a model lesson from both the individual and from the community. Tzricha diyash minin yachib yishim delo mefarsim chate. Because by an individual, people don't know about it. Generally speaking, people don't know about it. Aval tzibur de mefarsim chateyu em alo. But when it comes to the community, where everybody knows about it, I might have thought that there's no way we could do tshuva. Everybody knows what we're doing wrong. And when it comes to the tzibur, I might have thought HaKadosh Baruch Hu will accept our tshuva, because look, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to kill an entire community. There's more rachmanus. But with an individual, it's just one individual, he may not have enough zechus. So therefore it's necessary. So again, just like this idea of Rav Yehoshua ben Levi, Rav Shimon Bar Yochai also agrees that both the Chet HaEgel and David and Bathsheba were not sins in the sense that they decided to sin, but rather they were forced to sin. V'hainu de Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmani Amar Rav Yonasan, my dechsiv num David ben Yishai v'num agever who come al. And the Gemara now is going to darsh in this pasuk, num David ben Yishai shehikim ola shal tshuva. He was making, he uplifted, he established Ola Shel Tshuva, right? This idea of doing tshuva. And again, David sinned, but only as a model to show people what tshuva can be done. You do a mitzvah in this world, it walks in front of you. It like parades in front of you in Olam Haba. Shenemar v'halach lefanecha tzikecha u'chvor Hashem yaspecha. V'chola over averachas malaf tavto malachto liyom hadin. Anyone who does an avera, the avera wraps you up. It envelops you, and it takes you to Yom HaDin. Shenema yilaftu archos darkam. Rav Elazar Amar Kshura Bo Kekel. Rav Elazar gives a different imagery in terms of what this, how the sin that you do attaches to you to the Yom HaDin. It's like tied to you like a dog. Shenema lo shama ila lishkav etzov liyos imam. Yosef was being tempted by Eshes Potiphar again and again. Lo shama elaha, he didn't listen to her. Lishkav etzla liyos imam. Neither to sleep with her or to be with her. That's a redundancy. To sleep and to be with her. Lishkav etzla b'lamazel lachios, I'm sorry, liyos imam ba'olam haba. And the redundancy tells us that had he had slept with her, it would have, that sin would have attached itself to Yosef both in this world and in the world to come. And again, it's that imagery that it kind of like, it connected to it. It's like attached like a leash to a dog. Amar Reish Lakish Bova Nachzik Tova La Avoseinu. Shilmalehin Lochatu Anu. Shilmalehin Lochatu Anu Lobanu La Olam. Okay, another very interesting concept of the Gemara. The Gemara, it's in its original presentation, says it like this. Had B'nai Yisrael not sinned at the ego, with the ego, we never would have been born. Never would have been born. Now the way Rashi explains it, as it seems very clear from the Gemara, is that the reason being is because had they experienced the Ma'amad Har Sinai, and without any sin whatsoever, they would have been elevated to the status of Malachim, of angels. Angels don't have children. Okay? And so the way the Gemara originally presents this idea is that they would have become angelic creatures, all the people who are Ma'amad Har Sinai, and therefore, consequently, there would be no future generations. Okay? Another big idea for today. Shenemar ani amarti Elokim atem uvnei elyon kuchem. Right? You were supposed to be, you were designated to be Elokim. Elokim over here, God-like. Right? The Shir Shoyom. Uvnei Elyon Kulchem. And you were supposed to be Vnei Elyon, people of a higher level. But Kulchem Chavalta Masechem, that's not part of the Pasuk. You destroyed your ways. Achein Ke Adam Tumusun. Now you're going to die like a regular person. Okay? So, again, just an interesting idea. Ma'amad Har Sinai would have given us an angelic appearance, an angelic likeness. In this, I don't know where this is from. I'm saying this, but I don't have a source for this. The Ma'amad Har Sinai was supposed to bring us back to the Adam state, right? Adam wasn't supposed to die either, but because he sinned, so therefore Misa was introduced into the world. So by Ma'amad Har Sinai, basically, it was a reset. And we were going to go back to the Adam state, and so therefore we were going to be without death. And it's because of the ego, the cheta ego. So now death was imposed in this world, and therefore because death is imposed in this world, so therefore we procreated. So the Gemara is saying, in a certain sense, we have to be thankful for cheta ego, because without cheta ego we wouldn't be here. All later generations after those people. Lem meimra. And so now the Gemara is going to ask some basic questions. Really, that's true? That had they not sinned, they wouldn't have any children? So first of all, there's a mitzvah pururavu, right? And they wouldn't have had that mitzvah? And the Gemara says, yeah, you're correct. They wouldn't have had that mitzvah. Ad Sinai. V'sinai namiksiv lech amor lehem shuv lechem lo lechem. So the Gemara says, yeah, but by Sinai also. After Ma'amad Har Sinai, Hashem says back to them, okay, go back to your tents. So it's interesting. He could have just simply said, yeah, but that's because of Cheta Ego. But Cheta Ego hasn't occurred yet. So, right, it sounds like the whole purpose is to go back to the tents and to procreate. So the Gemara answers very simply, no, l'sim chasona. No, that's just simply to be with their wives. But not for the purpose of procreation. Right? Ona is a mitzvah. With or without having children, v'aksev laman yitav lahem lufnehem, la'osam ha'omdim al har Sinai. The pasuk says this will be good for you and for your children. So it sounds like there's going to be progeny. No, children over there means losam home de Har Sinai, meaning right, anyone who's there in Har Sinai, but there's not going to be any future generations. V'amar Yish Lakish my dechsev zeh sefer told us Adam v'chi sefer hayolol Adam harishon melam yishar lo kadosh baruch lo Adam rishon dor v'dor v'dor shav dor v'dor v'chachamav dor v'dor ufarna sav. Adam harishon got a sneak preview of all of history. He got to see everything unfold right in front of him. And obviously, it's like everyone who gets that window to see into the future always stops at Rabbi Akiva. Like, Rabbi Akiva is like the stopping point. Like, hold it. Stop the film, right? Rabbi Akiva's, you know, as history goes, Rabbi Akiva is one of the more exciting, dramatic, sad. It's everything. Rabbi Akiva is everything. Happy about the Torah, Rabbi Akiva. Everyone's excited about Rabbi Akiva's Torah, but then very sad about the death of Rabbi Akiva. Okay? Amar veli ma yikru ve'echa el. The Amar of Yossi, and on top of that, we have another statement to Rav Yossi, Ein ben David ba, achi chalo neshama shebeguf. Ben David will come, but only after the warehouse of all souls is totally emptied. And all the neshamas come into this world. Right? The term the Gemara uses is neshama shebeguf. Guf over here does not mean the body. Guf over here is a reference to some storehouse, some warehouse where all the neshamas are kept. Once it's emptied out, so Ben David comes. Right? One of the Gemaras that's used to discuss, right, after you finish fulfill the mitzvah for Ravud, you have more children. So there's a mitzvah, the Rabbanon of Leshevis Yitzara, right, to populate the world. But also this Gemara also comes into play as well. But anyway, Shenemar ki lola olam ariva lola lanetzach ektsov ki ruach malafanai yatov v'neshamos ani asisi. Okay. So, but anyway, lo tema. Okay, so, but, fine. It seems from this statement to Rav Yossi, it seems from the fact that the Adam Harishon got to see all future generations, and he's talking about the generation Rabbi Akiva well after the Mamar Har Sinai experience, so it definitely seems like even part of the original plan is that there are going to be future generations. So fine. So what we're going to do now is we're going to modify a little bit our original position. The original position of the Gemara is that without Cheta Egel, so we would have just become on the love of Malachim, we would have lived forever, and we would not have had children. Okay. The Gemara is now going to modify that. Lo tema anu lo banu la olam, ela kemisha lo banu la olam. So what we're going to now say is that, look, no, they were going to have children, and they were going to have future generations. But it's like we're not here. What does that mean? The way Rashi explains it, kemish labana la'olam, Rashi writes, lefi shehin chayim, la'olam v'chol zman sheim kayamim, ein anu chashuvim klom. Because, says Rashi, look, the people who experience Mamad Har Sinai, they're not going to die. So they're going to be immortals. Okay? They're going to have future generations. But all future generations didn't experience Mamad Har Sinai. And so for all future generations, it's going to be mortals. I know it sounds like a movie, but, right? So there are basically going to be two people running around the earth. It's going to be the immortals, those who are Mamad Har Sinai, and all future generations. So you can only imagine. In other words, right, if you had those two different types of people who are existing on the earth, the immortals and the mortals, obviously the immortals look at the mortals and say, so what? Not that important. It's kemisha lo bala olam. It's as if we didn't come into the world. Okay. Lameimer di lo chato lo hava maisi vaksiv parshas yivamus parshas nachalos. Gemara asks two very good questions. Yibam, right? Yibam means someone's going to die. Nachala means someone's going to die. Inheritance. So, and those are two mitzvos, and those two mitzvos are contingent upon death. So the Gemara's answer is Al Tanai. The Gemara says, well, those mitzvahs were written on condition. I do not understand the give and take over here of the Gemara. Because the Gemara just got done saying that generation is not going to die, but all subsequent generations are going to die. So you could have said, I could have suggested that the Yibo Menachla Parshios are for the future generations, not for that particular generation. The Gemara chose not to say that. I'm not sure why not. Anyway, Umiksiv cry out tonight. The Gemara says, yeah, the Torah does that. Writes a Parsha, just in case. So the Gemara says, sure, in. We saw this also earlier in the Masechta and Daf Gimel. Malam Shiisna Kadosh Baruch Hu in Masa Breishes Vamrei. We commonly saw the term Mutav. The Imlav Achzira Eschem Letohu Vavohu. Period. Okay. So yeah, you see that the Torah had a Yom Hashishi. The world is only going to exist if the Jewish people accept the Torah. All right. So. Could very well be the world is not going to exist because maybe we won't accept the Torah. You see that the Torah writes just in case. Okay. All right, so we are in the middle of this big sugya of the Gemara. It's a concept presented by Rav Yehoshua ben Levi. We would not have died had it not been for Chetah Egel. Okay. Meisvei. We go back now to this pasuk mentioned in Sefer Devarim, Parshas Devarim, Mi Yitain V'Hayal V'Avam Zeh. Lahem Levata Mehem Malach Amavis, Iyafsha Shekvar Nigzor Gzera. Halo Kibli Yisoh Asa Torah, Ela Kedei Shalotei Uma V'Loshon Sholetes Bahem. Shenema Laman Yitav Lahem V'Livnehem Ad Olam. Brisa says, the whole purpose of the Torah, as far as abolishing the Malach HaMavis, no, that we can't do. Shekvar Nigzer Gzera, Malach HaMavis is out there in the world. The only thing that, not the only thing, but the benefit that comes out of accepting the Torah and keeping the Torah is that we'll have autonomy. Right? We will have, right, Shelote Uma V'Lashon Sholetas Bahem. We will have total autonomy. Okay, according to this Brisa, even those who stand by Mamad Har Sinai, they're going to die. Right? It's Malach HaMavis. Malach HaMavis is out there, he's around, and even Mamad Har Sinai cannot stop that. Fine. This Brisa is diametrically opposed to Rav Yehoshua ben Levi. Rav Yehoshua ben Levi says that Mamad Har Sinai, they weren't supposed to die. Mamad Har Sinai is going to take care of that little problem called death. Right? That's the Rav Yehoshua ben Levi approach. And this Brisa says no. This Brisa writes Kfar Nigzor Gzera. So who the Amar? By the way, I keep saying Rav Yehoshua ben Levi. It's Reish Lakish. I'm sorry. Who the Amar Ki Aitana? So the Gemara says no. He Reish Lakish follows a different Brisa. The Tanya Rav Yosi Amar Lo Kibli Sosa Torah Lekidei Shaloi Hei Malcham Avi Shalei Bahem Shenem Arni Amarti Elokim Atem Ovnei Oyon Kuchem Chaval Tamasechem Achen Kadam Tumusan. All right, we have another Brisa, and in this second Brisa that the Gemara is quoting, there is the opinion of the Tanakama, and he says just like Reish Lakish, or let's say it more accurately, Reish Lakish says it like the Brisa. In that, Mamad Har Sinai was supposed to take care of the Malach HaMavis, right? But it didn't take care of the Malach HaMavis because of the Chet HaEgel. But had it not been for the Chet HaEgel, the Mamad Har Sinai would have taken care of the Malach HaMavis.
Mamad Har Sinai happened after Chet HaEgel? Before Chet HaEgel?
What's that? Mamad Har Sinai took place before Chet HaEgel. So that's right. So Reish Lakish says exactly that. That from the moment of Mamad Har Sinai, they were not going to die.
So there was no Malach HaMavis.
Right, Malach HaMavis was taken care of, and the Chet HaEgel came, and that brought back the Malach HaMavis. Mm-hmm. Right. By the way, again, just more ideas, which without any sources, I'm good at that today. So, is that's part of the explanation of Parah Aduma, right? Parah Aduma is the golden is a tikkun, it's a correction of the golden calf, right? Because what happens with the Parah Aduma, somebody who comes into contact with death gets sprinkled with the Parah Aduma, right? Because that Parah Aduma, that right calf, so to say, the mother of the calf, if you will, is there as a tikkun, as a way of rectifying, because the eagle brought death into the world, and the Parah Aduma comes along and corrects that sin.
Those are the gone by then, there was no Yisrael anymore.
Are you right? The relationship of the Malach HaMavis and the Yetzer Hara, I'm not sure. From the Braisa that we just quoted, I don't know. It's a good question. I don't know that relationship well enough. Okay. Reb Yossi Nami Haksiv Laman Yitav Lahem Uvnehem Ad Olam Tovahu Davya Hamisa Ika. Okay, Reb Yossi disagrees. In this braisa that we just quoted, so the Tanakhama certainly supports the position of Reish Lakish that because of Mamad Har Sinai there would be no death. And it's only because Cheda Egel death was reintroduced. Okay? Reb Yossi disagrees. Reb Yossi says, no. Laman Yitav Lahem Levneim Adalam Tovahu Davya Hamisa Ika. No, there will be good, but there's still going to be death. Amlecha kevin deleika misa ein lecha tova gedola misa. Sorry, a whole bunch of girsa issues here. I'm sorry. Right, amlecha Rav Yossi. Okay, wait. Right, just a flip. Am lecha Rav Yossi kemen aleke misa in lecha tova gedola misa. Okay, v'tanakam inami haksiv. Achen kadam temusa my misa. So according to the Tanakama, when the pasuk in Tehillim says Achen kadam temusa, which again we've been darshing that pasuk to mean that the mam at Har Sinai takes away death, and because we sinned, so therefore we're going to have to die, right? So Achen kadam temusa. According to the Tanakama, what does that mean? Achen kadam temusa. When according to the Tanakama, death was never taken away. Death always was there. So what does it mean? Achen kadam temusa. My misa anias. It refers to poverty, meaning not actual death, but something which is similar to death, which is poverty. Dama amar arba chashuvim kemesim. Four people considered like dead. Elohein, ani, suma, umitzara. A poor person, a blind person, a leprous person. I know it's not leprosy. You know that as well. Umisha ein labanim, and someone who does not have children. Ani dechsev kimeisa kol nashim. By ani, we know that ani is like a dead person because the pasuk says kimeisa kol nashim amaneinu dasan vaavirim. That's a reference to dasan vaavirim. Umi meisu mehave hava. Then now they didn't die. In fact, they don't die until Korach. But rather it means that they lost all their money, and on account of losing all their money, they're considered like dead. Number two, Suma Dichsiv Bimechashchim Oshivani Kemese Olam. I'm sitting in the dark, I'm like dead. This is a Pasuk in Echa. Again, it sounds very clear that the inability to see is Ki'ilu Meis. It's like you're dead. Mesor Dichsiv Ananti Kemes by Moshe's sister, Miriam. When she experienced Sara'as, the pasuk says, "Al nati kamesh," she shouldn't be like a dead person. Umisha in labanim, someone who does not have children. Dichsev havali vanim. Rachel says to Yaakov, "I need children. Bring me children." Vim ayin mesanochi, because if you don't, I'm like a dead person. So again, you see that all these four people are similar to that who is dead. And then we go back to the pasuk in Tehillim. The pasuk in Tehillim says, "Achein ka adam temusin," you will be like dead. Dead over here does not necessarily mean physically dead. It can mean other forms of death, poverty, or the like. Tana Rabbanan, im bechukusai telecho ein im elaloshon tachanunim. The word im is tachanunim, is supplication. V'cheinu omer lu amisho mi'ali kemat oivechem achnia. V'omer lu hakshivta lemitzvasi ve'yikenash lamecha ve'yikachol zarecha v'tzeitzecha me'echa. Okay, so the word im is like supplication, like please. Tana Rabbana. Two lines from the bottom of the Amud. Mi yitein v'ayal levavam ze lahem. Okay, what assurances do I have that they're going to be complete and good in front of me? This goes back to Sefer Devarim, Parshas Devarim, and Hashem is asking Moshe, what assurances do I have that they're going to be with me? I'm Alam Moshe Li Yisrael Kfuye Tova B'nei Kfuye Tova. So Moshe says back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, sorry. Moshe says to Yisrael, you are kafui tov, you are ingrateful. That's a good word.
Ingrate.
You're right. You are ingrate, b'nei kfuye tova, children of ingrates. B'shash amar kadosh baruch hu leYisrael, mize v'haya levavam zeh lehem. When Moshe says, well, what assurance is, haya lehem lomar tein ata. The answer should have been, you're going to give us the assurances. Meaning that you gave us the Torah, and you're going to provide for us the assurance that we're going to be on the straight path. And kafui tova dechsev nafshenu katsa belechem hakilokal. And what indication do they have that they are not grateful? Well, look at the man. Man came down every day for 40 years, and they said regarding the man, all we have is this lechem hakilokal. Kilokal, Rashi explains the word kilokal, comes from the word light, kalhu. Rashi writes regarding the man, it's the top Rashi on the page. Kalhu hamanu mimneshaya nivla b'chol evrehem. A man was totally digested, there was no waste matter whatsoever in the man. Ve'enam yotzim lachutz, and no waste matter creates no waste. They did not go to the bathroom. Karal kilokal v'rognu al-kach. They complained about that, says Rashi. V'yaisalem tova gedola. Now Hashem did it to them as a favor, as a service. Shelo hayutzrichem l'choch v'latzei shalosh parsaos l'fanos. So they wouldn't have to walk and go to the bathroom. In the desert, they could not go. Indoor plumbing was just a pipe dream. Pun intended. I didn't even mean that, but it works. And just going outside and going to the bathroom, also not an option. What they had to do, explains Rashi, in order to go to the bathroom, it's actually this week's Parsha. What they had to do is they had to leave the camp. And when they say leave the camp, they couldn't go in the direction they were walking. And they couldn't go on the sides as well. They had to go to the back. Okay? And so if you lived in the front of the camp, so that meant that you had to go walk all the way to the back of the camp. So it could be a walk just to go to the bathroom of gimel parsaos, three parsas. Every parsa is 4 mil. So that's a 12 mil walk. A mil is 2,000 amas. So you're talking about a 24,000 ama walk. Each ama is 2 feet. Okay, do the math a little bit. It's a long walk. Okay, so Ditanya, we learned in a braisa. I'm still reading in Rashi. Kishahi niftin, a niftin lo litzideim v'lo lifneim, ela la'achareim. They go to the back of the camp. U'machne Yisrael gimel parsaos, how you u'machne Yisrael gimel parsaos. So that's a long walk to have to go to the bathroom. Hashem knows that, so Hashem gave us man, and the man was such that we didn't have to go to the bathroom because it created no waste product. It was all nutrition. If you read the nutrition facts of the man, what you would see is 100% for everything. And no waste. So, fine. So, right, so it was Hashem did, and they thought, now the Gemara doesn't spell this out, nor does Rashi, but they thought the man was just sitting inside their stomach and just like, you know, decaying and rotten man in their stomach. That's the image they had, and they didn't understand that the man was totally digested. Okay. And kafui tov, and that's their ingratitude. And b'nei kafui tov v'dichsiv, and now we keep going back to Adam Arishon. Ha'isha asher nasata imadi, he nitna li mina eitz v'ochal. Okay? He was also not grateful. That woman that you gave me, right? Hashem gave her the woman as a companion, as an ezer, and he complained about the woman. Af Moshe Rabbeinu lo ramzan leYisrael al alachar b'im shana. Okay, now this idea, they complained about the man early on, and Moshe chastised them and reprimanded them only at the end. Shenemar the olech eschem ba midbar ar b'im shana v'ksiv l'rasan Hashem lachem lev ladas. Right, this statement was given only at the end of the 40 years in the desert. Amar Rabba, Shma Mina, Lo Kai Inish Adaite De Rabbe, Ad Arba Inchnin. You're never going to really understand your Rebbe until 40 years of learning with the Rebbe. Okay? So we got a long time together. And that assumes I'm the Rebbe. But you only begin to understand your Rebbe only 40 years later. Moshe didn't understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu about this point until 40 years. If you go back to the previous Amud, there's a Tosfos over here. Right, Perish Rashi, Sha'af Moshe lo nizkar. The Im Tomar, Tosfos asks, well, I'm reading Tosfos on the previous page, but it really is about our Gemara. Amai kas Moshe al Yisrael, halo gam hu lo nizkar. Right, Moshe gets angry. And Tosfos points out it's a little bit strange, because he Moshe himself didn't get it. Meaning what Tosfos doesn't understand is the anger. Why is Moshe getting angry? It took him 40 years to understand the rebuke that he's giving the Jewish people. So So Tosfos gives an interesting answer. Look, from Moshe's standpoint, this idea that they were unfaithful to God, for him it was an academic point. Because he was never unfaithful. Meaning, he didn't stand with the Chet Egel, he didn't stand with the Meraglim. So for him it was really a point of academics. Right? And so for him it took 40 years for him to fully understand and digest the idea. Because he was always faithful. For Bnei Yisrael, who were not faithful throughout the desert, with Egel, Tosfos brings down the Meraglim, even though the Gemara doesn't talk about it, but with the Meraglim, with the Man, so for them, it was an academic point. They were unfaithful, so it's something they should have recognized and understood earlier. Okay? That's one approach in Tosfos as to why, even though it took Moshe 40 years, he was still angry at the Jewish people. Okay. Tosfos has a second approach as well, but it's an interesting idea. Back to the Gemara. Okay, we are on Hamad Beis. We're about 7 lines from the top of the Amud. Amar Rav Yochanan, Mishum Rebbe Bana, my Dichsev, Ashrechem Zorei Kol Mai, I'm sorry, Zorei Al Kol Mayim, Mishachi Regal Hashor Vachamor. The Pasuk over here in Yeshayahu, the Gemara is going to darshan it. Just darshan it. Take it away from its simple pshat and insert a drush. Ashrem Yisrael Bezman Shaoskim Betorah V'Gmilas Chasadim, Yitzram Masur B'Yadam. When you are engaged in the learning of Torah, in Gemilas Chesed, you will have dominion over your Yetzahara. Vein heim esurim biyad Yitzram. Shenemar ashrechem. And now we're going to darshan this pasuk to explain that concept. Zorei akol mayim. Zriya is planting. But Zriya over here is a reference to tztaka. Shenemar zaru lechem tztaka v'kitzru lefi chesed. Okay, and Mayim is Torah. Ein Mayim el Torah shenemar ahoy kol samei lechula Mayim. Mishalchei regel ashur v'achamor tana debe Eliyahu la'olam. I'm sorry. Mishalchei regel ashur v'achamor, and they send out the regel ashur v'achamor, and that's a reference to the Yetzahara. So by you being engaged in Staka and in Torah, you do away with the Yetzahara. Tana de Bei Eliyahu la'olam yasim adam asma al devei Torah kishur la'ol ukechamor lamasui. You should be to Torah like an ox is to his yoke. Strap it on and work it. And like a chamor to a masui, like a donkey to its burden. Just put it on. Right? Learning Torah is going to be work. And the Gemara says, and you should take on that, the yoke of Torah. Period. Okay, that takes us to the end of the Agadata, right? A lot of free association amongst the Gemara over here for the past 4 days, where we have delved into ideas of Chet HaEgel, Yom HaDin, right? Just a lot, right? Bilam and the anger of God, right? We tackled over the course of this Agadata a lot of big Agadic concepts. Okay, we go back now to our Mishnah. Okay, what our Mishnah teaches. Our Mishnah introduced us the idea that 3 days before the holidays of the idolaters, you're not allowed to do any business with the idolaters, because when you do business with them, along comes the day, their holiday, and they're going to be extraordinarily religious on those days, and they're going to praise their gods, and you're going to be facilitating Avodah Zarah. Okay, so the Mishnah says you can't do it. 3 days. And now what we're going to be discussing for the remainder of this morning is this idea of 3 days, right? Why is it that for them 3 days becomes the benchmark of they're gonna and whatever's gonna happen now, they're gonna turn into like a religious action, right? A religious activity. So Gimel Yamim Asalasimahem. So the Gemara is gonna ask an interesting question. We're gonna start with a Mishnah in Chulin. Before we learn the Mishnah in Chulin, let's just remember there is a prohibition in the Torah, Oso ve'ezbeno lo sishketu biyom echad. Torah gives us a prohibition that you're not allowed to shecht a mother and its offspring on the same day, right? You're allowed to shecht animals and eat animals, right? But there's a prohibition that you can't take a mother and its offspring and shecht it on the same day. The Gemara in Chulin will discuss a lot of the details of this Isser in the Torah, but for now, all we need to know is that it is prohibited to do so. The Rambam writes, Sefer Chinuch and follows in kind as well, that the reason behind this prohibition, again, Tama Mitzvah, is that it's insensitive. It's just it's cruel. It's cruel to shecht a mother and its child on the same day. And so to help us, get that midah of cruelty out of us, so the Torah prohibits us from engaging in that type of behavior. Anyway, just from the standpoint of halacha, so if I know, if I'm like, let's say a butcher, or not a butcher, if I'm a farmer, and I'm selling animals, and I happen to know that I sold a mother and I sold its offspring, I don't have to inform the buyer. Because even though one person has a mother, one person has the offspring, what are the chances that they're going to be shechted on the same day? There is a chance, but it's a minimal chance. I don't have to let people know, oh, before you buy that animal, you should only know I sold the mother, and I don't know when the mother's going to be shechted. You don't have to worry about that. It's just the chances of that happening are low. Low probability. However, says the Mishnah in Chulin, now we go back to the Mishnah in Chulin, 4 days in the year that you know that when you sell an animal, it's going to be shechted that day. Therefore, is you as the animal supplier, if you already sold the mother that day, and somebody comes along now and wants to buy the offspring, you have to say to the buyer, yeah, you can't shecht it today. You got to know. I sold the mother already today, and you'll see why. I'm going to assume the mother's going to be shechted today, so you can't shecht this animal today. Okay? And you have to inform the buyer that you sold the mother. Those 4 days of the year, those 4 days of the year are, says the Mishnah, Arba prakim b'shana amochir behem l'chaver tzach lahodiyah. Ima macharti lishcha, bita macharti lishcha. You have to inform the buyer. The Eluhain. And those days are, okay, follow carefully. Erev Yom Tov Acharon Shel Chag, Shmini Atzeres, right, last day of Sukkos. Erev Yom Tov Arishon Shel Pesach, first day of Pesach. Erev Atzeres, Shavuos, and Erev Rosh Hashanah. And the eve of Rosh Hashanah. Uchadivar of Yosi Aglili of Erev Yom HaKippurim Begalo. And in the community of Rav Yosi Aglili, aside from eating their chicken and milk together, if you don't understand that, that's fine. They also ate meat on Erev Yom Kippur, and so therefore there as well. Okay. And the basic idea is, in this Mishnah in Chulin, is that you buy an animal on these Erevs, so the assumption is that you're buying it for the Seuda of that evening. And so therefore you have to assume the animal is going to be shechted that day. Okay, Ben.
The prohibition against shechting an animal and its child on the same day, is that on the same person, or does it apply to...
Right, so this Mishnah in Chulin makes it very clear that it's not necessarily the same person. Even, in other words, if you know the mother was shechted, so now the prohibition is on you, right, that because the mother was shechted today, you can't shecht the child.
Okay. I mean, if you think about it, most farmers don't even recognize which animal comes from.
Right, the correct, animal. Correct. A lot, right, this all assumes that recognition, 100%. Okay, agreed. Okay, just some obvious points in the Gemara over here. What's missing? A sukkos, first day of sukkos. Right, what we're describing over here are Erev Yontifs, when there's a mitzvah of Suda, Lahabras Besuda, to have a Yontif meal, and the Mishnah over here left out sukkos. Look at Tosos. Tosos explains the omission of sukkos. It's coming up. Tosos writes, Ha delo nakat yom harishon shel chag lefi shem trudim mimitzos lulav v'sukkah. There's a lot going on in sukkos. There's lulav. There's sukkah. And you simply, says Tosfos, do not have the time to sit there and purchase a lot of meat for your se'uda. Okay? That's one explanation of Tosfos. Look on, we're going to go on in Tosfos. This Tosfos is fascinating. Or, instead of talking about what we left out, Tosfos says, no, let's go from a different perspective. The days that are mentioned in this mission, Hulan, have significance, have extra significance to those particular days, and that's why these days are highlighted. Right? Tosfos goes on to explain. Yom Tov Achron Shachag, well, what's the extra significance of Shmini Atzeres? Lefishu Zman Bifnei Atzmo V'chalok. Mishilafanav Tiknu Laharbas B'Se'uda. I'm sorry, V'chalok Mishilafanav Tiknu Laharbas B'Se'uda. The eighth day of Sukkot is a regel bifnei atzmo. It's its own separate, independent yontif, not necessarily connected to the first 7 days of Sukkot. Right? We don't sit in the sukkah on the eighth day. I know we do, but we're confused. We live in the exile. But it's different, and so therefore, tiknu l'harbas besuda. So therefore, there was a special institution to eat a lot on Shmini Atzeres. Masha ein kein b'shvil shel Pesach. The seventh day of Pesach, not special, not independent, I should say. V'gama karbanu shebishmini hayu b'shvil Yisrael. Also remember that the carbon that's brought on Shmini Atzeres, that's for the Jewish people. And all the karbanos that we brought in the first 7 days of Sukkot, that's for the Goyim. But the eighth day is a special and unique day for the Jewish people, therefore, institution of extra se'uda. Tosfos goes on. Erev Pesach lefishu yom ge'ula v'yitzia l'cheiros. Erev Pesach, special se'uda, because that's the day of our redemption. Atzeres, what about Shavuos? What makes Shavuos so special? Kidamina beperkei l'dvarim. Hakol modim ba'atzeres to be ina nami lachem. On other yontifs, you can dedicate the entire yontif to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You don't have to eat. That's subject to a machlokas, but right when it comes to atzeres, everybody agrees that you need lachem. You need to eat on Shavuos. I knew somebody was going to ask that. V'Rosh Hashanah mibnei shehu tchilas Hashanah marbim b'se'ud alaso siman yafeh. Also Rosh Hashanah, special inyan on Rosh Hashanah to have a se'uda. It's siman yafeh. It's a good sign for the year. You know, on Rosh Hashanah, it's coming up in just a couple short weeks. You know, on Rosh Hashanah, so it's we do simanim, right? Even me, right? The litvak that I am. Right, we do simanim, and one of the simanim on Rosh Hashanah is to eat, meaning to have a meal. It's a siman yafer for the whole year. V'kama anyanim osim bol siman yafer. We do many simanim kedamar b'meseches horios v'krisus, and so consequently, the simanim that we do on Rosh Hashanah, one of them is just simply to have a seuda. So the second answer of Tosfos is not what we left out, but these 4 days have special inyanim to have extra seuda. Okay, let's just run through the Gemara's answer, and then we'll continue tomorrow. Hasam de la achila sage bechad yuma. The question is, over there, we're buying the animal the day of, and meanwhile, in our Mishnah, when we're describing the Goyim, 3 days. Gemara gives a simple answer. Hasam de la achila sage bechad yuma. Hacha de la hakrava be'inan t'lasa yuma. Okay. We are eating the animal. The whole reason that we're buying animals on Erev Yontif is to eat. They're not eating, they're sacrificing. Their pagan holidays require that they buy an animal in order to shech the animal. So for them, 3 days. Okay. So it's a fundamental difference, and that's why for them it's going to be 3 days. We'll continue at this point tomorrow. The Gemara is going to continue on this on this line of thinking, because if it's for Hakrava, we know that it's much more than 3 days. Okay, so we're going to discuss that tomorrow. We'll continue tomorrow. Good. V'chananya ben akash amatzakash baruch l'zach v'sol fi chachir v'antar mitzvah shenem anach hafei tzamantzi ko yagvil tor v'yadir.